The meeting of the Cambridge License Commission, Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. It's 3:04 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave Conference Room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moretti Ferrer, Gerard Mahoney, and Branville Bard. First matter, cancellation, Uno Restaurants LLC, holder of an all-alcohol license number 11698, linked to 22 JFK Street for non-use, pursuant to General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 77.
Uno Restaurant. Second call.
Please inform Ms.
Gilson. Oh, Ms. Gilson, I'm sorry. If you can either come in or come out, you can't block the door there. Thank you.
Cancellation, JFS Group LLC, doing business as Fire and Ice, holder of an all-alcohol license number 11362, linked to 50 Church Street for non-use, pursuant to General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 77.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ms. Lick, can you swear a minute? Do you
stand and raise your right hand?
Yep.
Oh. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Please sit down. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Yes, my name is John Schall, J-O-H-N-S-C-H-A-L-L. I'm the managing member of JFS Group, LLC.
Thank you. And the last time that we heard on this was in June of 2017, where your attorney at the time informed us that the landlord and yourself were looking for a buyer for the location, and the intent was to leave the license at this location?
Yes.
And is that still the case, or what's going on?
I mean, so I have a two-pronged approach on trying to sell this license. I'm working with Pat Palladino, who's the managing director of Newmark Knight and Frank, who's one of the largest commercial restaurant brokers in the city, to market the license generally. And I'm also working very diligently with the landlord on the prospective tenants that have approached him on this space. Currently, there are a few tenants that have visited the space 3-4 times, and you never know about these things until they're done. But the fact that there is an available license for this space makes it immensely easier to market the space than if the license didn't exist. And so I would like to ask the commission to allow it to continue to have more time to get this done. I think we're getting very close. And once again, I continue to pay the $4,000 a year for this license. I originally paid $180,000 for this license. I don't have any expectation that I will recoup that entire amount. But if the license stays at this space and I can sell it to the tenant that will, because this space will eventually be leased. It is just a matter of time.
And it's a huge space as well, right? About 326 was the capacity on this space. Is that correct? It's a big space.
It's a big space. It's 9,000 square feet, and that's why it doesn't, somebody's not making a decision lightly to rent 9,000 square feet, and that's why the prospective tenants have been here one has been here 5 times, right? And they're, but it's a very big sort of benefit for the leasing of this space, that the license that corresponds to the size of this space is available. And so I would ask the commission to give me a little bit more time. I would continue to pay the $4,000, and just in terms of, being able to sort of keep spaces, empty spaces, leased in Harvard Square, it's a huge incentive to have this license available.
When did you cease operate? When did Fire and Ice cease operation?
October, September 9th of 19, of 2016.
Yes.
It's been a year and a half.
About 18 months, a little over 18 months.
And we had the first hearing in 2016, and then the next hearing, which was the June hearing, where we got disinformation.
I mean, one of the things that there have been things done to sort of make this space sort of, for example, the space has now been completely gutted, and so people coming in have a better vision of how to turn it into whatever their idea is for that space than having it sort of look like the what Fire and Ice was. And so a lot of steps have been made. It's just the final sort of paper hasn't been inked yet.
I would recommend that we provide the additional time based on the representations made and do a cancellation hearing in November, which is around renewal season. And then at that point, anyways, you will tell us your intent at that time if no transfer application has been filed until then.
I agree with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Application, Porter Square Hotel, LLC. Doing business as Porter Square Hotel, 1924 Mass Ave. Holder of an inholder, all alcohol license number 10893 has applied for a change of beneficial interest to enter into a management agreement with Sidoni, LLC.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Please take a seat. Would you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Chief and Commissioner Andrew Upton, UPTON. For the operator applicant, with me is Loic Legarek, L-O-I-C-L-E, capital G-A-R-R-E-C,
okay.
And Sandrine Rossi, S-A-N-D-R-I-N-E, R-O-S-S-I. And somewhere here is Mr. Kevin Sheehan, S-H-E-H-A-N.
So you can start, or I can start with my question.
However, whatever you prefer.
Go ahead, and then I'll organize myself here.
Okay. Loic and Sandrine are partners in this operation. Loic's experience is as the owner-operator of the Petit Robert chain in Boston. Sandrine is the owner-operator of Frenchy restaurant in the South End. And Loic has been consulting there as well. Both of these are traditional French cuisine with a modern American twist and fresh ingredients. Both have been quite popular and successful. Both serve alcohol and have for some time and have not had any violations. And they have partnered to start a restaurant that will be known as Colette. And we will submit the proposed menu for the record. In the existing restaurant space at the Porter Square Hotel. We believe the public need for a license at this location is established, or at least somewhat established, since there is a license there, and I'm sure the board is aware of the process that's unfolded to get the license in there, to get the hotel built. But they have these two have been recruited to operate a restaurant in the demised premises of the restaurant. So we do believe there's a public need established. That being said, we did conduct some community outreach. We have spoken to the Harvard Square Business Association. Despite the fact this is now the Porter Square Hotel, Porter Square Hotel is a member of the Harvard Square Business Association. Gilson is here to support us. We also met with the Porter Square Neighbors Association. Had a successful meeting with them on Monday night. And I'm not sure if someone's here from there, but I did speak to the chair, email with the chair this morning, and they're in support. So the hotel has a license, it has a restaurant space, and these are the people that seek to operate it. I'd just like to have Kevin say a couple of words just about how this process got to here and how he got them as the preferred operators.
You can pull that chair back and next to your counsel there and
sit
there.
I'm Kevin Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N. And I don't know if you want me to rehash some of the issues that we've gone through. I think Attorney Pagliotti and Attorney Simeo have submitted a number of documents outlining what happened in the license transfer. Subsequent to the transfer and the upgrade to the hotel license, we were informed by East Boston Savings Bank that Mr. Gim was not allowed to have any managerial decisions whatsoever regarding the LLC, or they would call the note. Consequently, we had to find an operator for the hotel, for the restaurant. I have known Louis and Sandrine for some time, and I'm very familiar with their operations. And in speaking with the neighborhood groups, I knew what they wanted in there, and I knew what we wanted to put in there, and they were as close as we could get to what everybody was talking about. There's an overwhelming number of fast ethnic in the area, but nowhere that is somewhere where you can go sit down, have a drink after work, have a meeting, have dinner, have appetizers, all kinds of things along those lines. That's a comfortable 2 or 3 time a week establishment. I think it fits the bill for the demographic of the restaurant that we, the demographic of the hotel that we have. In fact, the hotel was awarded by, and I'm going to murder the name, so Louis may have to say it, the
Petit Futin.
There you go. In France, as one of the better hotels to stay in the Cambridge area. So with that in mind, we gave them a chat, and they said, yeah, we'd love to do it. So that's why we're here.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, Mr. Upton, I just have a few questions. So I know that the inholder license is held by a different LLC. Yes?
Yes, that is us.
Okay. So one of the first things that I want to point out in the proposed management agreement, to which we don't have a fully executed one, by the way, or at least in the file, it's mentioned as an inholder all-alcoholic beverage license. So I just want to, because I want to make sure Porter Square LLC doesn't hold the inholder license. Correct.
The inholder license or the alcohol license? Or are you worried that we're confusing the two?
I think it's being confused. That's what I'm wondering.
I was under the impression the last hearing we had with Attorney Simeo
you switched everything to the Porter Square
LLC, and it is holding both the inholder's license and the alcohol license. We were awaiting for an operator prior to the license being formally given.
Approved. Okay. Yep. Yep. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the at the previous one. Okay. And then, but we are keeping in terms of the LLC. We're keeping the same interest, Lee with 50 and Gim with 50?
Yes, yes. We own, they're just managing it.
Okay, because the application doesn't have them disclosed. Now, I understand that the way that the management agreement application sort of went away with the e-portal, and then this was filed as the beneficial interest based on what the ABCC suggested, correct?
That is correct. There is no other option.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have both of you as LLC members of, I get from the documents of Sidonie.
Yes.
But Sidonie is not on the application, the actual LLC.
Sometimes the ABCC requires individual beneficial interest disclosure. Sometimes they do not, and it was not clear from my discussion with them that they would require Sidonie to disclose an interest. But often they change their mind when it gets to the commission.
So
we're
I guess what I would say is if we approve this, maybe you submit to us the corporate papers of Sidonie, and then we attach that with the approval.
Sure.
I think that would take care of that. And then if we approve it, we'd have to clarify that the percentage interest stays the same and that the interest that these two individuals have is the 18% of the gross sales. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the beneficial interest.
And there is no pledge?
No.
You're not asking for a pledge along with this transaction?
No.
Not with them, I understand that.
No,
but
the reason it says pledge yes is because they previously pledged and I couldn't take it off the e-filing system.
Okay. Okay.
So we are not doing any pledging.
Okay. The pledge is the one that's currently in place. Do you have the management agreement in front of you?
I do.
I have a question as to on page 3. Where it says that the manager shall do everything in terms to obtain all permits, licenses, approvals, and everything exclusively, and that licensee has no obligation. I'm not sure. Is it just in particular, I'm not quite sure what exactly you're talking about, since changes to, for example, the liquor license would have to be done by the licensee, not by the manager.
Are you talking about paragraph 2 of 1.2, permitted use?
Yes.
All right. I see what you're saying. I mean, it refers to the designated outdoor area, which I guess is not yet fully permitted, and
but that is included in the license.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I understand the intent of the paragraph. I'm just not quite sure it's clear. And considering how management agreements have to be very clear on who retains ultimate responsibility for the license, again, I just want a clarification on that.
Yeah, I think this is language inserted by the licensee. Just to make sure we don't pass on the application obligation and the bills to them.
But it says that the manager is the one that's supposed to do it and that the licensee is not going to do anything.
Right. But, I mean, they have to work with us when we file.
Yes.
Through this. I think they just want to make sure we don't stick them with the bill.
Okay.
I know one of the other things is Curtis, who's the GM of the hotel, who is here, has an abundance of work already, so that's why we're saying, you know, have Luik file for the outdoor permit, file for those permits. Curtis will obviously work with him, but Curtis has too much to do already. You know, have Luik do that, or Sandrine.
But there's also some potential signage contemplated, which is outside the liquor license, and they want to make sure that we bear the burden of doing that.
Okay. And then page 6. Letter E, right above 2.4. I'm assuming ultimate dominion and control includes firing and hiring?
Yes.
Now, the operating account, I know that you define it in 11, in page 11, but you talk about it in page 8. Is it the same operating account? Because you actually define it on page 11, but not on page 8, and I just want to make sure we're talking about the same account.
Yes.
And then I didn't see, and I may have missed it, we're in the midst of our spring renewal, so I didn't see, so tell me if it's in here, but I didn't see anything with regard to the profits in the operating agreement account in go to the licensee, or exclusively the licensee, with the exception, of course, the payment for the management agreement of the 18%, but the profits of the liquor sales, I didn't see that.
You're talking about, let's see. Uh, Okay, so I believe that's contemplated in the management fee.
What page are you on?
15.3.5. So the intent of this paragraph is that they get their fee, and the overarching language is that everything else is for the under the dominion and control and for the benefit of the licensee.
I just think I wish it would be clearer, but I mean.
Well, this is a product of the drafting of numerous lawyers, so
yep.
this is the compromise we reached.
I am sure. And then on page 21, on 6.5, when it talks about assignment, this might be just the lawyers fighting it out, but I'm not quite sure how an assignment would be valid regardless of the ABCC or the local board's approval. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's often the case in either a management agreement or a lease that the landlord or licensee party puts in what we would call extra belts and suspenders to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think those are all my questions. The manager of record stays the same, right? It will be Curtis?
Curtis stays the same, and he is right here.
Yep. Okay. And he will remain your employee?
Yes. Hopefully for at least 10 years. Can you write something like that into the documents?
The condition of the license.
Yeah. All right. Any questions? Anything else?
No, that's it. I think we have some people that want to speak, and we're glad to answer anything that comes up.
Anyone in favor of this petition? If you could please come up. Please tell us your name.
My name is Susan Hunziker. I'm here representing...
I'm sorry, Susan, how do we spell your last name?
H-U-N-Z-I-K-E-R.
Thank you.
I'm here on behalf of Ruth Royals and the Porter Square Neighbors Association. I have even... I devoted a couple years of my life to the process of getting the actual hotel built throughout. Just wanted to speak to you throughout those... I haven't been as deeply involved in it since... But the conversations have always been expressed a desire for a well-run operation at the street level, particularly when they get something with that will animate the lot, the Edgelon Mass Ave with outdoor seating and so forth. We are concerned largely with the previous tenant or a couple of people with Mr. When the site was the Averov, we all know that the difficulties of that operation and complying with the regulations pertaining to noise, traffic, and trash were legendary, and so that we are hopeful we would support a well-run operation that is willing to work with its neighbors when issues come up, and they will once in a while, but we're looking forward to that. So just to support and to support the need and the long-term desire for this.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good afternoon, Denise Johnson. I'm the executive director for the Harvard Square Business Association. And also here wearing another hat as a neighbor. I live at 2203 Mass Avenue. So as a neighbor, I think, first of all, it's really wonderful. We really need this kind of activity in Porter Square. We've had guests come to our home and actually stay at the Porter Square Hotel and have had very good experiences there. So delighted to see this possibility. And as the Business Association, first of all, Porter Square Hotel is a member of the Harvard Square Business Association and has been since its inception. And on a different level, we have worked with Louis for many years when we had Bastille Day celebration on Holyoke Street. He was a good friend of Chef Host at Sandrine's, which has nothing to do with this Sandrine, but nonetheless, Louis would participate in our Harvard Square's Bastille Day celebration, and always did a wonderful job and had delicious food and had lots of spirit, and it was always fun. So we really think that him coming to Porter Square is a good thing. So we hope you approve the application.
Thank you. Anyone else in support of this application? Anyone in opposition? Yes, sir, if you could please give us your name.
Hi, thank you, commissioners, for the chance to speak. My name is Michael Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N. I'm the clerk for the North Cambridge Stabilization Committee, which is the neighborhood association that also covers Porter Square. And I'm not speaking in opposition, but more raising questions and conditionally, personally, would support these applicants taking over the space. However, we haven't had a presentation to our group, so I can't speak for the group. And actually, Ruth Riles of the Porter Square group, together with me and some of her members, actually had the chance to meet in the space and meet the proprietors last night. And she indicated to me that their group was not going to take a formal position because, sort of the same reason, that there hadn't been a presentation to their full membership. So what I'm hoping is, and I mentioned this to Ruth, that we could perhaps have a joint meeting of all our groups, more widely notify the neighborhood of what's going on, because our email list wasn't told about it. So that operational questions can be addressed. And some of them were last night, but there are others. And they have to do with the same sort of issues that the nearest abutters have complained about in the past under previous owners and restaurants at that location. So it's parking issues, potential noise issues, hours of operation, and possible noise, whether there would be an entertainment license involved.
Well, Mr. Brandon, the entertainment and hours and everything has already been pre-approved. We're here just to determine whether or not we approve this management agreement so that these individuals can basically run the restaurant of the hotel.
Right, so, and I, well, again, I haven't had a chance to review the management agreement that you referenced, and I suspect I would have similar kind of questions about that. But, you know, as far as what I know about these folks, you know, I don't think that's going to be an issue, but I would like a chance to do that. As far as what's been approved,
We're not here to discuss that at this time, though. Thank you.
Well, I won't go into detail about it, but some of the questions you raised, such as operation of the outdoor space, I thought that was approved for the front, and there was an agreement that it would not be in the back, which is right next to the button.
Again, not the issue that we're here for today, but thank you.
So there'll be no opportunity to review that?
We're not here discussing this at this time. Thank you.
So you're saying that the hours were approved, that the DBA was approved? I don't think so.
Thank you.
I hope you will have another hearing and allow that to happen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have a question, I'm sorry, before you respond, Mr. Upton. I understand that Mr. Butcher will remain the manager in general, but I'm assuming you two will be managing the restaurant per se. Are either of you TIPS certified or 21 proof?
Yes, both. Yeah.
Okay.
Loic has been a manager of record for, I believe, over 15 years.
Yes.
Approved by the City of Boston.
And if you remember, Curtis is also TIP certified.
Yes.
And also they are the co-owners of this operation, so I expect them to be watching it quite closely most every hour of the week.
Anything else, Mr. Upton?
Just for the record, I think the chair accurately stated that the applicable standards under the applicable law of granting a license have already been discussed and met. But just to be clear, I believe Susan Hunziker represented that we met with the Porter Square Neighborhood Association on Monday.
Right, but I would say I was not there, but you know, we have not had a formal thing support, but we're not opposed, certainly not opposed. You know, as long as everyone's happy, we see no. But we have would welcome the presentation.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? With that said, I would vote to approve pending the submission of the signed agreement and the corporate structure of Sidoni.
We will be glad to do that. I'll say for the record that there are two owners. They're splitting it 50-50 and they're right here.
Yep. No, and I get that. I figured in terms of submitting it so that when we submit the approval.
Of course.
Thank you.
All right, thank you
very much.
Application Nookie LLC, doing business as Commonwealth Restaurant, 11 Broad Canal Way, holder of a common victualler all alcohol license number 11473. Has applied for an alteration of premise to 6,500 square feet located on the first floor, approximately 2,833 square foot seasonal patio on private property against the building with a la carte dinner area and beer garden area with outdoor bar and seating. No changes to the current capacity, which is 194 inside and 124 outside.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Steve Postal, S-T-E-V-E. P-O-S-T-A-L.
Thank you. And Mr. Postal, if I understand your application correctly, you're moving the patio basically so that you can move the people away from the manhole cover?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. And other than that, there are no changes, correct?
Correct.
All right. Questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
So awesome. Thank you.
Application Ethos Business Partners Incorporated, doing business as Lee Sushi Bar and Restaurant, 425 Cambridge Street, holder of common victualler license number 12289, has applied to add wine and malt beverages to said license. The proposed hours for alcohol service are Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. Current food service hours are 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. Proposed inside seating for 48 with a total occupancy of 68. Hung T. Lee is proposed manager of record. The premise described as approximately 1,900 square feet on the first floor with two dining rooms, two restrooms, kitchen, and 250 square foot patio on private property, approximately 1,800 square feet in the basement for storage.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
My name is Kevin Crane, K-E-V-I-N-C-R-A-N-E, and I'm the attorney that represents the applicant, and my law office is located at 104 Mount Auburn Street in Cambridge. I have with me Huong, H-U-O-N-G, Lei, L-E. She is the owner of the corporation. Her English is limited, so that's why I'm making the introduction. She lives upstairs from the restaurant. And then Henry, you can just identify yourself.
I'm Henry Lee.
And Mr. Lee, you have no beneficial interest, or?
No, he does not.
No.
Okay, but you are the proposed manager of record?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, Madam Chair and Commissioners, first of all, I have the notice of affidavit on the abutters.
Thank you.
My client purchased this property approximately 3 or 4 years ago. It used to be the site of the Ciampa apothecary for many years. And she has she started out with renovating one side of it for 24 seats for her restaurant. And subsequently, she expanded to the other side as well. So that presently, the capacity is 48 seats. And she's been operating as such for the past, the 48 seats the last year or two. She did receive some zoning relief when she initially expanded and had to address some handicapped access issues, which were also addressed. I do have a menu. And our petition is to have a wine and malt beverage license at the establishment. As with any restaurant, particularly a small restaurant like this, it's critical that they be able to provide a service such as this to the dining public. We went before the East Cambridge planning team in March 21st. And we were very well received, and they have submitted a letter in support of the application. Do you already have that?
I have the East Cambridge Planning Team letter, the East Cambridge Business Association, and Councillor Toomey all in support.
Okay. In the East Cambridge Planning Team letter, they noted that this particular end of Cambridge Street is relatively quiet, and they look forward to my client being able to provide the service a little bit later at night so that end of Cambridge Street would have some activity. I think that goes toward the public need aspect of the application. And you can't have a quiet, successful restaurant really without the wine and alcohol service, so it sort of dovetails into the need as far as if you want a successful restaurant there, then you really need the beer and wine in order to service the public. We also have a number of support letters. That was a petition, and we have approximately 250 names in support of the application. And I might add that in my experience in submitting a petition like this or in support of it, an application, I've never seen the addresses really reflective. This is the most reflective I've ever seen of the neighborhood. They are mostly all East Cambridge addresses. Quite frankly, the furthest you go away, there's a couple from Somerville. But
in Lincoln.
Well, they were staying in an Airbnb in East Cambridge. but it really is. I didn't say they all were, Madam Chair. But
well, you said sort of the farthest. So the first page says Lincoln. I see one from Manchester, New Hampshire. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just mentioning.
Yeah. And Mr. Lee, who's the proposed manager, has experience in the state of Rhode Island. He was the manager of record of 4 restaurants for approximately 10 years, and they all had beer and wine licenses, and there were never any issues with any of the licenses that he held in Rhode Island. He works on the site 7 days a week. As I say, my client, Huang, lives upstairs, and she comes down and cooks every day. So if there are any questions that we could answer, we'd be glad to.
The patio seating, this is on private property, yes?
The patio is on private property, but there's no seating there.
So there, okay. Because I was going to say, where's the floor plan for the patio and what was the... So there will also not be alcohol service on the patio.
That's right. It's presently being used just for, I believe, storage and trash.
The patio just for storage and trash.
Yeah.
Okay. So there will be no food and or alcohol on the patio?
That's correct.
Okay. And Mr. Lee, are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes, I do.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes, I do.
Are you TIPS or 21 proof certified?
Excuse me?
Do you have your TIPS certification or 21 proof certification? The safe, not safe serve in terms of food, but in terms of alcohol service?
Right.
Have you taken a training for safe alcohol serving?
Actually, I had it before in Rhode Island.
Okay.
And I had a tip, you know, online that I'm learning right now.
Okay. So if we approve the application and we approve you as proposed managers, you'll need to submit proof of the TIP certification or...
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. I don't have any questions. Do you guys have any questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? We've already mentioned the other letters we got. And these. Anything else, Councilor?
No.
With that said, I would, and then quick question, are you keeping the food hours the same, or would you change the food hours to the proposed alcohol service hours?
They're going
to
keep the food hours for now.
Okay. Bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that said, I would vote to grant, and I would just make sure, because it is in the premise description, I would put a condition that there is no food or alcohol service on the patio.
Correct. Okay.
Granted.
Thank you. You talk to Public Works at all? The engineering department?
No.
Tell them that the... Headwood Polish Roman Catholic Church has not been in existence for 10 years. Right, Chief?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Application 50.
Oh, Councilor?
Yes.
I don't think we need that in the file, but thank you.
Thank you.
Application 56 Bagels, LLC, doing business as Black Sheep Bagel, has applied for a common victualer license at 56 JFK Street. Shoshana Garber is proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 1,270 square foot basement level with one entrance, two exits, prep area, two restrooms, and dining area. Proposed hours of operation are 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. 7 days per week with seating capacity of 49 and total occupancy of 61.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please state and spell your names for the record.
Shoshana Garber, S-H-O-S-H-A-N-E-H. G-A-R-B-E-R.
Thank you.
Manny Ramirez, M-A-N-N-Y, R-A-M-I-R-E-Z.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I represent 56 Bagels, doing business as Black Sheep Bagel Cafe. I'm Kathleen Moore, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N-M-O-O-R-E.
Thank you. Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Black Sheep Bagel?
All right. It's a family. Will be a family-operated bagel sandwich restaurant, not a fast food establishment. Anthony Gluccio has already talked to zoning, and it's been. It does not fit the definition of fast food. It has 49 seats, 61 person occupancy. It will be open for breakfast and lunch, serving creative bagel sandwiches. Mr. Ramirez is building the furniture in the if you look, follow them on Instagram, you'll see that. I have a copy, this is one of those two letters. I have both Ms. Garber's and Mr. Ramirez's CDs here, as well as a copy of the proposed menu.
What are creative bagels?
My question.
The sandwich part. Go ahead.
We have a menu of breakfast and lunch sandwiches that are, that go beyond just a bagel with a spread. We'll have that to be served open-faced, plated, and
garnished.
Yeah, garnished.
Yeah, so we're looking to it's a cold plated format. I have 14 years experience in the restaurant industry. Currently, I'm a managing partner at Central Restaurant in Newton Center, and before that, Vanderbilt Kitchen and Bar in the Financial District in Boston. Previously, the Vault. So cold plated is something new in the restaurant market, and we believe something that Harvard Square definitely needs as far as your typical cafe where you walk in and you walk out. It's about building an atmosphere and a community, basically based around something as simple as coffee and a bagel with a twist. There'll be no ovens, there'll be no fryers, everything will be cold plated.
So the pizza bagels are going to be cold?
No, not the pizza bagels. So
okay.
That's a cooktop. That's a small cooktop. No. Some people do enjoy cold pizza.
late at night.
Not myself.
Okay. Sorry, I just. And then even though it says toasted, you're literally just doing all of this on bagels?
Yes, all of it on bagels. There's a toaster and a countertop cheese melter.
You're building the furniture in bagel form too, or
the what?
In bagel form to the furniture?
No, not in bagel form. No, benches, tabletops, whatever I can get my hands on.
So it's a black sheep. You'll notice there are a lot of sheep puns in the menu. Yeah.
So, Counselor, I think you said 49 seats. Yeah, and that was the limitation per zoning, but you can go up to an occupancy of 61 in terms of standing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the hours, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., 7 days a week?
Yeah.
And then are you going to have any entertainment other than background music?
No.
Okay.
We will be able to host special events in the evenings, but no other special entertainment.
Okay, so if you are going to have an event outside of 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., you have to petition the board to do so.
Okay.
If you're going to have entertainment other than background music, you'll also have to ask the board for permission. Okay, do you guys have questions? Anyone in favor of this petition?
Good afternoon again, Denise Gilson, Harvard Square Business Association. So we've been working with Shoshana a little bit on just helping her with some of the initial application stuff, and just really excited. That location has been vacant, as you probably know, for several years. It's the former Doma Liquor establishment, and it's just an eyesore. So to have a fun little bagel shop, open in the morning, which again, there's a real need for it because, frequently we're stopped by people in Harvard Square saying, where can we get a breakfast around here? And we send them to, right now we have IHOP or Henrietta's, but, and there's Kremer and, there are other cafes, but really to just go in and get a really fun, creative, as we say, bagel experience, we don't have that. So we're looking forward to it. I think that activating that location will be really quite wonderful. And the only objection I have is they're closing at 3 in the afternoon. But that's really it's really their decision. But we hope that they'll be open in the evening for some special events, and we'll have them, happily encourage them to come here for permission to do so. So we hope you approve the application, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant. Granted.
Thank you. We'll see you guys then.
Application, Abe's Complete Auto Service, Inc. has applied for a new garage license for 10 vehicles and 100 gallons of gasoline in the tanks of autos only at 317 Fresh Pond Parkway. Applicant is also applying for additional flammable storage for 500 gallons of Class 1 and 150 gallons of Class 2 at said address.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
My name is Jesse Schomer, J-E-S-S-E-S-C-H-O-M-E-R. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Regnante, Stereo, and Osborne. I represent Abe's Complete Auto Service.
Thank you. So we're proceeding with this counselor because we believe that your client needs a license at this location.
Yes, I was just handed a letter which I... Looks like it's from the city manager. I haven't had a chance to read this.
Oh, okay, give me that.
Well, I told you. I think you just put it on the email. So we did get community development. Did you get that?
I don't believe
I sent that to you this morning.
Can I take a look?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was all the diagrams.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I did receive that. Yes.
Just to clarify, the CDD basically gave us information that in the area, based on current flood maps of the city, that even though there is some flooding potential in the area, it is not the entire area, that the deepest flooding would be about 1.7 feet, although it would not be uniformly that deep, and it is unlikely that any vehicles would float. The only thing that CDD sort of flagged as a possible issue is that there's any underground storage of toxic materials, only because of possible surface flooding. However, water department usually has the reservoir go the other way, but it would be something to discuss at this point. But I don't think that you have any of that correct.
On this property, that's correct.
Yeah.
I believe the filling station next door, which is owned by a different entity, also owned by the same family, though. I believe they do have underground storage tanks, and they also, if I'm not mistaken, there's a filling station down the street that does as well, but this property does not. And the property next door, which is the former Japan restaurant, I think it was called.
Tokyo
restaurant, sorry. Yep. Which is in the process of being converted to a used auto showroom, which we were before you 3-4 months ago to get permission to do that.
Yep.
That also does not have any underground storage.
And this is basically for 10 vehicles, and the 100 gallons of gasoline is within the tanks of those vehicles. And then you're applying for 500 gallons of oil that will be contained in drums, and 150 gallons in drums for antifreeze. Correct.
I believe that was what the owner put in the application. Excuse me. We currently have a Cambridge Fire Department license for
a permit.
A permit for 150 gallons of gasoline, 500 gallons of oil, 250 gallons of antifreeze, and 1,030 gallons of cubic feet. Acetylene.
Okay. So that would be, this is the appropriate amount of what you have in the premises at that time.
That's right.
What's on the permit.
That's right. So I believe we sent in a letter something like three, four weeks ago, and what we were trying to do in the letter is explain that the application was filed by the principal of the company without our assistance, and our position was that the license was not needed because the threshold amounts of what they're actually storing on site is permitted by state statute and state regulation with simply a fire department permit, which, as I noted, we already have. So,
but the license is needed pursuant to our ordinance 8.08, and because the state law does not prohibit the city from having this ordinance, you need the license because you have to get it under 8.08. So that's our position.
Okay. Well, I respectfully, I'll have to take a look at that. My understanding is that the state statute and regulations specifically provide that while cities and towns are permitted to enact their own regulations, they're not permitted to contravene the state statutes and regulations, but
and
I would need to take a look
at that. And And I agree, the statute says that even though the municipality does not have to have it, it also does not prohibit the municipality from having it. And this particular municipality, you do have the law.
Okay. Well, I'd like a chance to take a look at that. If the board is, or the commission, I'm sorry, if the commission is of the opinion that the license is needed, that would bring us to a somewhat of a procedural issue that I noticed when I was looking through the file. Namely, when the owner provided the abutter list to the commission, he provided the wrong list. So the legal notice of this is defective. So we would need to re-notice it.
Okay. So what I would recommend then at this time then is for you to re-notice the abutters and for us to hear this matter. I can personally say that I don't foresee this being an issue.
Okay.
But, you know, obviously you want to correct the defective notice.
Right.
We could finish hearing the matter, have you submit the notice, and leave our vote open until the time for the notice is provided so that we hear back from the abutters. Okay.
That would be fine with me. Would we have another public hearing?
We would set it up for another hearing for us to vote on it.
Okay.
If we do receive any opposition at that time, I would put it on this portion of the meeting so that the abutters, if they so want to speak, they can speak at the meeting or they can submit their statements, but provided give you, obviously, and your client an opportunity to respond.
Okay.
I'll let you gentlemen have any questions. If anyone's here to speak on this, anyone in support of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, so we would defer our vote, and please submit the abutter notification, and we will leave it open, depending on when you submit that abutter notification, for 14 days?
14 days. And once that's filed, the commission will issue
We will send you a letter as to when we would take the matter.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Boston Properties Limited Partnership has applied for a new garage with additional flammables license at 145 Broadway for 350 parking spaces, 7,000 gallons of Class 1 and tanks of autos only, and 2,810 gallons of Class 2 and above ground storage tanks.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
William Tabor, T-A-B-E-R. With Vanessa Hang and Brusselin representing Boston Properties.
Daniel Pagin, P-A-D-I-E-N, also from Vanessa Hang and Brusselin.
Michael Tilford, T-I-L-F-O-R-D, with Boston Properties.
Thank you. Go ahead.
We're basically been through the permitting process and been permitted by the planning board to basically redo the building at 145 Broadway, which will include a parking garage, which will have 350 parking spaces, using an estimate of 20 gallons per tank for 7,000 gallons of storage in the garage, plus a 2,810-gallon above-ground storage tank for diesel fuel to provide fuel to an emergency generator to provide backup power to the facility in case of emergency.
So we do 10 gallons per car, so it would be 3,500, correct, Chief?
Right. Yeah.
And then those 350 parking spaces, are those going to be for fee or are those not for fee, Todd?
For the tenant, so not for fee.
And And then you said that the diesel is for the generator for the building?
Yes. Is it life safety systems only, the generator?
There's two generators, a tenant generator as well as a base building generator. Base building is for life safety, tenant for redundancy. Mm-hmm.
Questions?
I have nothing.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant, but just confirm here that it would be 3,500 gallons.
Correct.
Of class one.
It's less than generally.
Plus the diesel, yes. Thank you. And don't forget to get your fire permit.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Baraka Incorporated, doing business as Baraka Cafe, 1728 Mass Ave, holder of common victualer license number 12308, has applied to add wine and malt beverages to said license with the same current hours of operation, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and seating for 40, although they are approved for 45. Aliyah Radjib is proposed manager of record of a premise described as 1,305 square foot ground floor retail space with bathrooms, kitchen, and dining area. Basement with office and storage, one entrance and two exits.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Aliyah Radjib, A-L-I-A.
Hold on, slower, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
A-L-I-A, Radjib, R-A-D-J-E-B.
Thank you.
I'm Omar Wibag, chef de cuisine and co-owner.
And Omar.
Omar, O-M-A-R,
yep.
B-O-U-I-B-E-G-H.
B-O-U-I-B-E-G-H. Okay, thank you. And then who is Ahmed Iratni?
No, it's removed. We removed it.
Okay.
There should be amended paperwork in there.
Okay. Okay, why don't you tell us a little bit about Baraka Cafe and the public need for this
okay.
license?
It's a long one, I'll tell you that. So first of all, it begins probably middle of 70s. My brother opened Les Paliers long, long time ago. So I worked there as a line cook, and after that I moved into a sommelier department. I was working with the wine. Worked all my life in the kitchens and traveled a little bit, went to Florida, Key West. I had a restaurant too there from Baraka and the Cafe Alia. It was after me. I had my wine list there. I had a beer and wine license also. Just moved back when my brother opened 8 Holyoke, Harbor Square, Monsef Medeb. Worked for him too for years. And then I opened my own. I worked at Blue Ginger and Ambrosia. Also as a chef, and then I worked on my own a little bit, and then I opened 80 and a half Pearl Street in Central Square Baraka Cafe, 1997. For a little while it was okay, but then the trouble starts happening around 1999, 2000. People start pushing, asking for beer and wine, beer and wine, beer and wine. Honestly, I wanted to have it, but it was very small. It was 18 seats. I had no storage. I have no places where to put wine or alcohol. So it was very hard for me to carry a wine list at all. But at the same time, I was doing very well. But people kept on supporting me. I had articles, reviews, Food and Wine, Boston Magazine, Boston Globe, Phoenix, David, all the magazines. And the only complaint they had is, I don't have wine. I don't have beer and wine with the food. So that also was a little bit drawn back financially because people kept on the, you know, hoping that I get that beer and wine license, but I couldn't get it. And I survived because it was down the street, Pearl Street, Central Square, people supporting me. Then they sold the building. I had to move, as I think you remember that, and I went to Boca Grande, which is 1728 Maestav, and we had another bunch of, you know, different people, class, asking, inquiring for the beer and wine. Every time I sit down, they ask for the wine list. I said, I don't have it. Most of them get up. Some of them come. They're very nice coaches, but they don't come back. The food that we have is Mediterranean French cuisine. I'm half French, half Tunisian, and I'm very familiar with the wine and the food. And I felt that it was a moment for me that I have to move on and get that beer and wine license to move on and satisfy my long-time customers and apply for that. I had no choice. I have no choice right now. I see that it is a requirement. People call constantly, do you have your beer and wine license? Do you have your beer and wine license? These people comes in, are you getting the beer and wine license? So it is, I see it after almost 21 years of business. I see that it is a must to have it. The food requires it because of the you know the background of the food. It's got a little bit Italian, south of France, a little bit of Spanish because of the Moroccan food. Also, my partner is a chef. He's also Moroccan background, and the food is asking for it.
Yeah, it's like we have like a lot of reviews from like a lot of different food reviewers, and yeah. It's like here the Zagat, and in the end just put like that. We do try to do like some kind of drinks for people, but we do like a lemonade, which is, we get like best of Boston, but still like people like don't want to get some, you know, like a caviar with lemonade. It's not gonna go together. Like we're trying to do foie gras with lemonade. It's never gonna go. And here they even put it for us in Zagat. Like it's too new people. Like it's supposed to be the reviews of like this food reviewers. It's supposed to like bring people in, but because people read that, but still some find no alcohol a bummer. It's like people like, oh, this, we wanna try it, but. Yeah. It's like mentioned here, we hope we can talk about the food, don't talk about the wine, but we can.
It's unfortunately, and now that we're on Massav, between Porto Square and Harbour Square, very unique because it's Moroccan, we got support from a lot of people. Most of the people are so excited that I finally, you know, decided to apply, so they're very, very very, very happy. I didn't know that I was supposed to bring people with me to support. It would have been no space at all, probably, for them to sit down. But I have a friend of mine. She's here, and Anne, and she, you know, she is very excited. She's French, and she wished that, you know, that this worked out for me because this is really the turning point for me. I'm 63 years old. This is it. Either I make it or break it. That's not. That's what it is.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And Ms. Rajab, you've never been the manager of a liquor license before, right? You've never had a liquor license under your name before.
No. Okay. And my brother, you know, Mosef.
So are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yeah.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes, of course.
Have you taken TIP certification or 21 proof certification?
A long time ago. That was like when I worked for Mosef.
Okay.
But I didn't know that I had to take it again.
If we approve you today, you will just have to do it before we can issue the license.
Of course. Of course.
And then when you mentioned your partner and chef, I'm assuming you're speaking of him?
Yes.
Okay. And do you like the Nules Balier?
I love it. I love Frank.
Yes, he was one of the sous chefs.
He's my brother. I have a picture with him when we were 20, when I was 21. And he was 22, 23. We have pictures together. We still have them. I go there once a year.
Right. Yeah. Any questions? I did notice that you mentioned that there was a loan. I don't have the loan documents. Have you submitted those?
I think I do have it.
It was not a loan. I think it was corrected.
It's not a loan. It was a grant.
It was just a grant from the City of Cambridge. Yes.
Okay. And do we have the grant?
Yeah, I have it. I think I have it.
That was the facade improvement program for CBD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If we could just have the letter or something, because we'll have to, if we approve it, we will have to submit it with your approval because it's the way it reads on the application.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think I didn't send it to you.
I think it might be in there.
It's not here.
I sent it, but I bought a copy.
Anyone in favor of this petition?
Yes. My name is Anne Inger. I want to correct the record. I was born in France, but I'm an American citizen since 1975. And I represent really a family of customers because Alia and her partner are very well known. And they do delicious cuisine, and they run a very good establishment with a warm family atmosphere. From the standpoint of the customer, it's a disappointment not to have the possibility to have a drink with that food. Many a time I've seen people come in and get out because they cannot order a beer or a glass of wine. And from the point of the business, I believe that now that the Massage Avenue corridor is some filled with restaurants, the competition is very hard. It really is necessary in order to survive, to be able to serve wine and beer in a family atmosphere in a restaurant that closes early. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone in opposition to this petition? With that said, I would vote to grant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And what I'll do is I'll keep this, and then we'll send it back to you because I need to make a copy of it. And then you'll get information on how to proceed with the ABCC hearing fee and everything else. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Administrative matters.
Mr. Officer Zito, is the driver here?
Oh, yes.
Okay. We're just going to call one more matter. This is a gentleman that was on for a new application. This is an appeal. Unfortunately, it didn't make the agenda, but he was informed that today would be his hearing. So. This is the appeal of decision of Hackney Officer Zito from Mr. Kessner Noel. It is with regard to a citation given to Mr. Noel.
I mean, not fine, a refund.
I will. Well, why don't I do this? Why don't I let Officer Zito what this is about? Go ahead, Officer Zito. Yes, please. Yes. You could both please stand.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, could you please state your name for the record?
My name is Kessner Noel.
Thank you. Is it
K-E-S-N-A-R.
And Noel, N-O-L-E?
N-O-E-L.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, on On February 12, 2018, I received a complaint on Mr. Noel Kessner, okay? And the complaint states that on February 11th, which is a Sunday, the complainant got into his cab at the Charles Hotel going to the airport. The driver called the complainant 4350. As during the ride, the complainant noticed on the sticker that it was supposed to be $40. So when they got to the airport, she confronted the driver about the rate. She said that the driver stated it's $43.50. She argued with him that it was $40 because it stated right there on the sticker. On Sunday, there's no rush hour, that it should be $40 flat rate. Then she wouldn't give him the credit card until he would charge him $40. So he finally relented and charged the $40, and then she asked him about the tip. Does it include tip? The driver said no, so they argue about the tip. At the end, she gave her $44 on credit card. She gave her $4 extra because she didn't want anything to happen to her luggage in the trunk. After he paid by credit card, she complained that he never got out to help her with the luggage. After I spoke to the complainant, I spoke to the driver, Kesner Noel, about the complaint. He did admit that he, in the beginning, quoted her a $43.50, but he wasn't aware that it was Sunday. He thought it was Monday. But he denies arguing with her about the flat rate or the tip. And he also denies about the luggage. He admits that he did help her with the luggage out of the trunk. So after I talked to both parties, I advised Mr. Noel that to make a full refund, $44, back to the customer. He refused, but only agrees to refund $4, the extra tip that was given to him. And he appealed my decision on that.
So, to be clear, no refund has been issued
no,
today?
No, not yet.
Not
okay.
$4 or none?
No.
Not even the $4 is the refund?
No, not even. Yeah, okay. So that's why we're here.
Well, I'll put in a $4 for them. And he said, no, you don't want a $4. You need all refund $44. I said, no. One officer said, you need all refund $44. I said, I'm working for my money. I can't refund $44. I have to refund $4 because I'm always burning gas. I'm working in a day. And whatever you say, officer, my $40 to give it to you like this, I can't do that. And a city council could get it, or you get it in a court, because I'm not going to give you my $40. That's what I said. I'm only warning for that. There's a $4 right there for the city of Cambridge. If you didn't need it, you take it.
Well, it wouldn't be to the city of Cambridge, it would be to the customer. I am inclined to accept Mr. Noel refunding the $4. I mean, the $40 is the flat rate.
Yeah, I don't think the $40 is in dispute.
Yeah.
But my $40 right there, I get a $40 swap. Whatever that lady said, it's a joke.
I would vote to have Mr. Noel refund the $4. But I wouldn't have him refund 44, if at all, a refund.
I think we're with that. The $40 is the fare. That's
I don't think that's in dispute, even from the client. She just was worried about, she said that she gave before because she was worried that she might not have her luggage released.
No, after I give her, then I
stop. So, I concur with the judgment to have him refund the $4 to the client.
Yeah. Okay. So just issue the client, I think it was a woman, right? Just.
Yeah, she said that he attempted to charge $43.
Yeah. So refund her $4.
Yeah, that's a check right there.
We can't take that because that's for the city of Cambridge and it wouldn't be to us, it would be to her. It wouldn't be to us.
Just give me a $4 money order and I'll mail it back to her.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's what I said to you before.
Now
Thank you. Everybody.
Now to administrative matters.
Prime Property Fund LLC, doing business as PPF off 150 Cambridge Park, LLC, 140 Cambridge Park Drive, holder of Garage with Flammables license number 14360, is requesting to change the building ownership from FPUS 7150 Cambridge Park, LP, to PPF off 150 Cambridge Park Drive, LLC.
Granton, just to correct the license holder name. That's the building change chance.
Building Form, LLC, 189 Norfolk Street, holder of garage license GAR 10067, has notified the License Commission that the property was renovated and two of the bays of the garage were removed. The property now contains two separate garages with a total capacity of two vehicles each.
Acknowledge license canceled. File closed.
The Hondar House Incorporated, 227 Prospect Street, holder of garage and flammables license number GFS 10046, has notified the License Commission that the business is closed.
Acknowledge license canceled. File closed.
Kyle Clayson, on behalf of Hallamore Corp., has applied for a special noise variance from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on April 14th. To set up a crane at 300 Bent Street. They will also be setting up on April 15th, but during regular working hours.
I would vote to grant and advise them that with regard to the 15th, they need to get a Sunday work permit from Cambridge Police Department.
Curlocom LLC, doing business as Plow and Stars, 912 Mass Ave, holder of Gum and Victualler, all alcoholic beverages, license number 11685, has applied to update their capacity to reflect the standing occupancy of 35 persons.
Okay, so I think this came about because they were inspected by Task Force in March 17th of this year. This precedes that, this request. They have a floor plan, which is the approved floor plan, which is the floor plan that they've had forever, and also the zoning sign-off, and what they are allowed per this floor plan and everything else is 44 seats with a maximum, with 44 seats and 52 standing with a maximum of 96. Now, I have no issue making the correction on the license to make sure that it squared away, but what I would note is that at the task force inspection, there were 66 people on the premises, which is still within the capacity. They weren't sitting, so they weren't over capacity per se in terms of what they are allowed. But I would issue them sort of a warning letter because when the doorman was asked how many people were on premise, he said 45. It just seems like it's a little. But at this time, seeing how they weren't over capacity for safe standards, I wouldn't call this in for a hearing for over capacity. It would just seem like a waste of everyone's time. So my proposal would be to approve the change in the capacity to reflect what's on the approved floor plan, which is 44 seats and 52 standing, and then issue a warning letter with regard to the task force inspection of March 17th.
Concur.
And the warning would be because the doorman said an erroneous number.
Yeah, just sort of a warning letter that, you know, your license capacity at that time said that you were only allowed 60. You were still within the capacity in terms of our approved floor plan. It was a clerical error. We get that. But just sort of like a FYI, this should be a wake-up call that your doorman should be aware. Okay.
Satchco, LLC, doing business as Satchco, holder of Parker Pedler license number PED 10072, has applied to change their current vending location to the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority parking lot, southwest corner of 3rd and Binney, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Friday through November 16th, and Cambridge Port, Sydney and Erie Streets, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Fridays through October 2018.
I'm not sure. Did she just read Satchco?
Yeah.
I'm not sure why you read that. Considered and approved with the renewal application. It says it right there.
I have it.
It says it right underneath. Considered and approved with renewal application.
Oh, I thought that was for the ones following it.
Nope. the Roadies Diner, DBA Roadies Diner, they currently have a peddler's license. I would suggest that we defer on this. They have not renewed the license, and this is for the new season, and the renewal is due April 30th. So I would say that we approve this with renewal rather than now, because it would literally be just approving it until April 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Okay, so, and I would say that the same goes for the chicken and rice Chick Check. I will say for the record that Chick Check has submitted their renewal, and I think they just have to confirm one last thing for us on that.
Shuck Truck LLC, doing business as Shuck Food Truck, has applied for a new Hawker peddler's license to sell lobster rolls, fish and chips, confit tuna, fried oysters, fries, and lobster grilled cheese at Cambridge Port, Sydney and Erie Streets from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Tuesdays through October 2018.
Renton.
New Inman Associates Incorporated, doing business as Ryle's Jazz Club, 212 Hampshire Street, holder of common victualler, all alcoholic beverages license number 11697, has informed the board that it will cease operating the business on June 30th, and the liquor license will be turned into the commission on July 1st unless it's transferred.
Board acknowledges.
Avis Budget Car Rental LLC, holder of letting of motor vehicle license number MVL 10001 VP 14136 at 20 Sydney Street, has provided notice that the business has closed.
I acknowledge license canceled.
Bartleby Satan Stand LLC, doing business as Bartleby Satan Stand, has applied for a new Parker Peddler's license to sell fried Satan sandwiches, salads, and french fries at Cambridge Redevelopment Authority parking lot, southwest corner of 3rd and Binney, from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. through November 23rd, 2018, and at Vecna, 32-34-36 Cambridge Park Drive, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Thursdays through December 31st, 2018.
Renton.
The Pull-Up LLC, doing business as The Pull-Up, has applied for a new Hawker Peddler's license to sell food, Latin soul food, rice with granules, beans, chicken and beef stew, chicken and beef empanadas, and non-alcoholic beverages at Central Square from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Thursdays through October, North Point Education Circle from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturdays through October, and Vecna, 32-34-36 Cambridge Park Drive, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Wednesdays through December 31st.
Granted.
Approval of meeting minutes from February 7th.
Granted.
So that was me. What's my next?
You're the pull-up truck?
Yeah.
If you wait a few minutes, we're probably on the cusp of finishing. You could probably go upstairs. Or Ms. Lynch, if you want to take him upstairs, and I can continue reading the agenda.
Sure.
So that he can get his license before our office closes.
Thank you so much.
Commissioner Bart has it. Meeting minutes of February 7th. I vote to approve.
Moved.
Moving on to one-day licenses. Paul Shannon, on behalf of Mass Peace Action, for an entertainment license on April 14th from 9:30 to 3 p.m. at Cambridge Common. Granted, I would say with the hours of 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. per the park permit.
Detail required?
I believe that went through special events, and they required it through special events. But yes, I have no problem including police detail there if you just want to put down police detail. Do you want to put on the bottom there?
I will.
PD? Okay. Philip Chavez has requested a malt and wine license at St. Anthony's Parish on various dates, and entertainment music for patrons dancing. I would vote to grant with police detail with the hours as requested by Sergeant Kale. Elizabeth Wu on behalf of SysMIC, has applied for a malt license on May 23rd at WeWork and also entertainment. Oh, I'm sorry. The St. Anthony Parish ones are separate. Yeah, those are all St. Anthony's. He put them separately. Ms. Wu's application, I would vote to grant with the condition that there must be a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge, otherwise the alcohol must be sold. Reverend Charles Colling, on behalf of St. John's Church, has applied for an all-alcohol license. I would vote to grant. Bill Manley, on behalf of Harvard Square Business Association, has requested a live entertainment license. I would vote to grant with the hours in accordance with the permit, which are 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Jamie Giordano has applied for an entertainment license. I would vote to grant. Oh, sorry. Mary Kale has applied for an entertainment license at Science Center. I would vote to grant with police detail required. Tamika Smith has applied for an entertainment license at Harvard. I would vote to grant with police detail required. Amy Gu has applied for an entertainment license. 414, I would vote to grant. Amy Barnacle has applied for a malt and wine at WeWork. I would vote to grant with the condition that a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge, otherwise alcohol must be sold. Matters added after the posting on April 14th. Royal Punjab Enterprises LLC, we got a letter from now their attorney. They were not represented at our hearing. For violation, the attorney has asked us to give him a rehearing so the attorney has an opportunity to be heard. I would usually not entertain this, but considering how he has informed us that he believes that part of it has been a language barrier, yes. I would vote to grant them another hearing.
I would concur.
I would too.
So we will put them on the agenda for May, sometime in May. We have to look, probably May 28th, but. Erica Gauthier has applied for a wine and malt license granted. We have some other add-ons. We have Kusu's Kitchen, another peddler, which I say we defer their request since they have not filed their renewal. Amanda Sherrick has applied for a wine and malt license. Harvard, say granted with police detail required, and also the alcohol must be sold. Erica Gauthier at Novartis, another malt and wine for a private event, granted. Jeffrey Ravel for a wine and malt license at MIT, granted with police detail required. And Erica Reinfield for a malt and wine license, granted with at MIT as well with police detail required. We also had Stoked Pizza, another peddler. I would say we defer that as well. They have submitted their renewal and they just need to confirm one question. So, and all of this is part of the renewal.
Actually, I believe it was looking for who else is on the truck, and he submitted all the queries to Cara this morning.
Okay. So we'll look at that, and then we can approve it through the renewal process. Same with Riceberg. And that would be it.
Give a second call.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Second call on Uno's Restaurant, LLC. Let me just make sure something. I would defer how we vote on this. I just, Mr. O'Neill, who sent out the hearing notice, is out on vacation, and I would just want to confirm whether or not the letter, aside from being sent to the attorney that last represented them, if it was sent to anyone else from the LLC. So I would defer our vote on this.
Can I agree with that?
Okay. Thank you.